Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And Andrew's in the studio with us now. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
What's going on today?
All right, Ben. Well, today we've got a case. We'll call it Saved by the Dog.
Okay.
Right. And we'll get into it. And what we're going to focus on today is residency and state tax filing.
Okay.
So I found an interesting case, and it's actually out of New York, but it's actually very fitting for North Carolina residents, non-residents, part-year residents,
right,
to kind of see the factors, because the same thing that the court analyzed in New York with regards to whether or not this individual was a resident of New York or not is the same type of analysis that would take place in North Carolina.
Interestingly enough, we hear the story of Shaquille O'Neal, who wants to run for sheriff.
That's right.
But it says in the stories that he's resident of Georgia and a resident of Florida.
Yes.
So, you know, that would probably be challenged one way or another.
Say part-year resident in both states, and certainly that's a way that you could end up having to file is basically, you know, part-year resident in North Carolina, for instance, part-year resident in another state.
Okay.
So this case is called In Re Platt, and basically Mr. Platt moved to New York in 1992, and he went to law school in New York, and then ultimately he finds employment in New York, and he stays there until 2009. And in 2009, he accepted the CEO position with Match.com.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, actually, oddly enough. And Match.com is based out of Dallas, Texas. And not to get too particular, but Match.com is a subsidiary of a bigger corporation called Interactive Corp. And that's who he was working for at the time in New York.
Okay.
So basically, he's just taking a CEO position with the same company, but a subsidiary that's now located in another state in Dallas, Texas. You know, and he was reluctant to move. Obviously, you know, he had been in New York for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And you know.
Until they got to look at the tax picture.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because why do these cases always end up with a state that does not have state income taxes?
Right.
Isn't it kind of interesting how we end up in Dallas, Texas?
Or in Florida.
Or in Florida. Yeah. You know, so you get to see states that don't have state income taxes. And so he was, you know, as I said, he was reluctant to move. And so he kept his, you know, was initially wanted to keep his New York apartment.
Right.
Initially was going to keep his titles with the parent corporation, we'll call it. And he also was traveling back and forth between, you know, New York and Dallas. And it makes sense because you're going to be meeting with, you know, other, business leaders in the company.
Sure. Yeah.
So he's obviously going back and forth between Texas and in New York. And the other factors I'd say that lead to him to be a New York resident, you know, would be he kept a car and a boat in the Hamptons in New York,
right,
and also spent a lot of time in the summer at a house that he had in the Hamptons.
Right. So you can have multiple places in a state and be that state resident, even if you don't qualify as a town resident necessarily. Right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. So we're looking at the state, you know, the state the state residency requirement here. And so basically what happened is that
people actually do that here. Where's the boat trailer? You know, sometimes that's an indication of your residency.
That's right. Yeah. So what happened with Mr. Platt is that he, of course, files his taxes, claims that he's a Texas resident.
Yep.
And then, of course, New York goes, wait a second here. We don't think that you know, your ties to Texas are not great enough. You're still really a New York resident. You just go to Texas, you know, for the tax break, quote unquote.
Right.
And then certainly during the audit, the auditor says, stamp it New York resident. You owe taxes on all of your income that you made as CEO of Match.com to the tune of $480,000 in state taxes to New York. So that's the deficiency that he was assessed. Well, then you start going through, Ben, what he actually did. And, you know, when he first took the job as the CEO of Match, they amended his employment agreement to say that Dallas was his principal place of business.
Right.
Okay. He moved his prescriptions and medical care to Dallas.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He joined a Dallas gym.
Mm-hmm.
He obtained a driver's license in Texas and also changed his voter registration to Texas as well. He had his mail forwarded to Texas and also contacted all of his banks and credit cards and anything else that would send a statement, had those moved to Texas as well.
So he had a home somewhere there?
He had an apartment in Texas that he lived in. He notified his subscriptions and everything else and had all those transferred to Texas as well. He also eventually decided, you know, he got down to Texas and he really liked it down there. And so he said, you know what? I'm going to list my New York apartment for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And he listed it for sale in late 2009 and actually sold it in 2010. And then lo and behold, he also moved his beloved dog to Texas.
Right. So he had a dog license in Texas.
So he moves the dog to Texas. And this is what I said. We're going to call this Saved by the Dog, because actually, Ben, in an email, he said, the dog is the final step. And this is, they put this in the case, actually. The dog is the final step that I haven't been able to come to grips with until now. Big D is now my home.
Uh-huh.
And there's an email that they, you know, obviously put into evidence to show that that was his, moving that dog was his final, you know, step to becoming a resident of Texas.
I would imagine the tax court wasn't concerned about after he sold his apartment, but it's the year before that, right? It's 2009.
Yeah, but also, I mean, he had pretty good ties with still having the Hamptons house and still having the, you know, the ties in New York, going there for business, you know, the boat in the car that he had.
Of course they wanted to pay taxes there because they
have a little incentive, don't they? $480,000 worth of incentive to have him pay taxes in Texas.
In New York.
And this is where the case basically flips, you know, and you know, there was going to be the catch, because right now you're going, Andrew, you just read off all these factors that he's got to be a Texas resident. I mean, there's just no doubt in the mind. Well, lo and behold, in 2011, the CEO of the parent company steps down.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who gets the job?
Mr.
Platt gets the job. And guess where he goes back to?
He goes back to
New York. Yeah. So here he is. He has a period of absence of time from New York for just a year and a half, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2009, 2010, 2011, he's back in New York. I mean, was he really a Texas resident? I mean, come on, you know.
You move your dog though.
That's where it turned. And you know, in all honesty, Ben, I read one thing. Obviously they quoted that email, but then the court goes on and says, you know, the final step was moving his dog, that he testified that his dog was, you know, up in age, that he was concerned about, you know, the health risk of moving the dog across the country, that it was hot and humid in Texas, and that he had to wait for the timing to be appropriate to move his dog down there. And that the dog was near and dear to his heart, and it reflected his intent to change his domicile from New York to Texas.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he didn't have any family, he didn't have a wife, he didn't have kids. So I guess they viewed the dog as being his ultimate companion, and that moving that dog down to Texas really put the nail in the coffin, and had the court in New York determine that no, New York, you know, you don't get your $480,000 in taxes. The deficiency is going to go away because Mr. Platt was in fact domiciled and a resident of the state of Texas.
Now, there are in state taxes in North Carolina, you have part year residency,
right?
Yeah,
you can have part year residence. That's exactly right. Yeah, depending on any sourced income from North Carolina, any services or any tangible property sold in North Carolina, you'd file two tax returns, which I think is what probably Mr. O'Neill does as well, which is obviously Florida. You said Georgia. So Georgia has state taxes and Louisiana does, I believe, as well. So, so he'd file two different returns there depending on, where his source income is. But I went, Ben, and I said, let's pull the resident factors in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
There's 16 of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's see, you know, what we've got here. And lo and behold, what's number 13? Location of pets.
Oh, no kidding.
So there you go. So as I said before, you know, one of the things when I was reading this New York case, and we always have to keep in mind that, you know, this case that I just read you is not going to be precedents in North Carolina. And by that, I mean, you can't say, well, look, Mr. Platt was a resident of, you know, Texas because his dog was, he moved his dog with him.
Yeah.
But what I can say is that obviously it shows you how a court in North Carolina would analyze these same factors. And also be aware that New York is very, very stringent, very strict with regards to how they view residents. because they know that a lot of people who have business in New York may also have other places of residence in other states, mm-hmm. especially ones like Florida and Texas that that don't have state income taxes.
Yeah, and it's got to be difficult, again, with these large corporations that are located in many places, is that where's the income earned?
Exactly.
Because, for example, a pro athlete, many states tax the game that they play in.
That's exactly
right. If they play in New York, they're going to tax them for their wages they've earned in New York.
Exactly. Services in New York going to be taxable in New York. They're going to file, upwards of 20 different, state tax returns sometimes for the various states they play. And also there's some city rules and regulations regarding, municipalities that are going to tax you.
You're a golfer. I know that that's probably true with the golfers too, if they travel around the tour.
That's exactly right. So they file a bunch. But, I thought it was interesting also because North Carolina lists 16 factors, which we can go through on a later show. And I did want to mention number 13, which was the location of pets. But, also the key here is, Ben, is that if you move, if you move to North Carolina, you want to be a North Carolina resident, you need to do the similar things that he just did, which is basically get your mail changed. Change your voter registration. Change your vehicle registration.
The interesting one was prescriptions because, you've got to get them.
That's exactly right. Prescriptions, medical care, and these things, there's actually 7 factors in North Carolina where we say, if you do these type of things, this is going to be when a change occurs. You sell and buy a home, you forward your mail, you notify your banks that you've moved. You transfer medical records, you register vehicles, you transfer memberships. I mean, things like that, you have to take an active role if you want to be a North Carolina resident.
Find out more by calling the folks at Harvell & Collins and make an appointment with Andrew Foster. You can reach him online at afoster@harvellandcollins.com. Call 252-726-9050 to set up your appointment, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City. Life and Taxes with Andrew Foster, brought to you by Harvell & Collins, Attorneys at Law.